prayer request. It's a pleasure just to be here with you today. As I said earlier, we're going to be talking about the armor of God, and in particular, we're going to look at the belt of truth today. It's so difficult to talk about truth in 20 to 25 minutes. I could maybe do an introduction if you'd give me a couple hours, but I'll try to get you out before the Cleveland Browns come on. I know that they're playing today. But anyways, every generation has things that they can identify with. For example, some of you perhaps were raised during the era where you didn't have any television and you just watched, listened to the radio. I was raised during the time period where you had a large console TV setting in the corner. You got about three or four channels. There was no remote control. Whatever kid was closest to the TV had to turn the TV at the instructions, parents. Usually we got 3, 5, and 8, and that's pretty much how it was. And you know, it was no different in the first century. They had visuals too. And when we study the Bible or we look at the Bible, God used these people and their time period to preach, to teach on, and they incorporated what was going on in their generation. The writer of the book Ephesians was the Apostle Paul, and it was believed when he was writing this book that he was imprisoned in Rome. And I'm sure every single day of his life, he saw a Roman official walk by him. He saw their uniforms. He saw their armor. And knowing Paul, not that I knew him personally, but just from his writings, he was probably a very intuitive man and asked about each and every piece of armor. And it was through that that God used the Apostle Paul to craft the armor of God for you and I. I'll be reading from Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray with me. God, I ask you now just to instill in our hearts what truth is. What is truth today, Lord God? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Why the armor of God? Why do you think the Apostle Paul used the armor of God? Well, he started this passage out and he said, so you can stand firm against all the strategies or the schemes of the devil. How many of you perhaps have had a rough week and you've taken that to heart and you've allowed the week to get to you? Some of those schemes is discouragement. We looked at that last week. Another scheme is if I follow God's plan for my life, it's a pretty boring plan. Why would I want to miss all the fun? Believing that sin is fun. That's a scheme. Believing the lie that we cannot change, that we have to stay the way we are, when we know that the power of the Holy Spirit is alive and works in our world today. Believing that the Bible is outdated and we should base our living standards on, or what we believe on, what society says, instead of researching in the Bible and asking God to lead us into all truth. And just as the Romans fought many battles, the same holds true for you and I. Ephesians reveals that we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but we're fighting against evil rulers. And I don't want you to raise your hand, but I know how people are kind of sucked into schemes, into things with their thought process. And that's a battlefield right in our mind. That's why we need truth to be shed over our minds. Why do we need the armor of God? So that we'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Instead of giving in to sin, instead of being defeated, after the battle, after what we go through, we will stand firm. We won't lose ground, but we'll know what God has for us. I read a story this past week about a little boy, and he and his classmates were out on recess, and they came in from recess, and the teacher wanted to know who did this. 30 children started to think what she was talking about, what they had done. I'm telling you one thing, when I was a little girl, unless my mom pointed out the carnage or actually what took place, I never opened my mouth. Because I may have done 3 things, and I would be giving it all away, okay? Just a word for you kids that are growing up. Just sit there. Who did this? Asked the teacher once more. She wasn't really asking. She was demanding an answer. She seldom became angry, but she was this time. She held up a piece of broken glass, and she wanted to know who broke the school window. And the little boy knew that he had broke it. He didn't mean to break it. He was practicing his knuckleball, which obviously needed more work since he broke the window. And he thought to himself, why did it have to be me? It really wasn't my fault. If I admit my guilt, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. He didn't know how he was going to pay for the window. He knew that his dad was going to get on him, and he says he didn't want to raise his hand. But he said then some force stronger than him pulled it skyward, and he told the truth. He said, I did it. And that's all he said. Well, the teacher went over to the library, and she took down a book. The little boy became concerned. He never saw the teacher hit somebody, but she was carrying a book towards him, and he thought perhaps that she was going to whop him with the book. And she handed him the book, and she said, I know how you like birds. And she stood looking down at his guilt-ridden face, and she says, this is a field guide about birds. It's time we got a new one. I want you to have this book. The book is yours, and you will not be punished as long as you remember that I'm not rewarding you for your misdeed. I'm rewarding you for your truthfulness. And that's what God looks at in our life. He looks at the truthfulness of the heart. Psalms 86, we find the psalmist writing, he says, oh Lord, I want to walk in your truth. And that's what I want for each and every one of you today, is to walk in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's start with this belt. It's called a balatus, and the soldiers wore it in front. You can see a little better example over here on this guy than you can on this guy. But anyways, they wore it in front. And it actually was a status symbol of being a soldier. And they were required to wear it at all times, whether they were on duty or off duty. And only soldiers were allowed to wear that belt. And that's what we're talking about today. And it's no different for the Christians. We need to have the belt of truth marking us. It's our symbol of being a Christian or a symbol of following the Lord Jesus Christ. To put the belt of truth around us means we bear witness to Jesus Christ. The belt of truth is the first piece of equipment that we're going to look at, but it's the last piece of equipment, actually, that we might put on. Because truth holds everything together. Truth will not let you down. And we need to wear it. And we need to wear it with pride, just as the soldiers wore their balatas around them, so everyone would know that they were a Roman soldier. I want to look at truth a little closer, and I want to look at divine truth, in particular, revealed to man. That's a good definition of truth. Another definition of truth would be reality, sincerity. Today, what you believe about truth literally determines your destiny on this earth and in the next. All through the book of John, you're going to find statements of truth that Jesus Christ made. And one of my favorite conversations is when Jesus Christ is getting ready to die, and he's been handed over to the Roman official, Pilate. And Pilate really can't find any wrong in Christ. And he asks him what he's done, and the Lord Jesus Christ explains to him that his kingdom isn't of this world. And Pilate comes back at him and says, "So you're a king, so you're a king." And Jesus responds, he says, "Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to truth. And all who love truth recognize that what I say is true." The Lord Jesus Christ was put on this earth to lead, guide, and direct you and I in the truth. What is truth from the Bible? John 3:16 is a truth. Those of you that know it, say it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." That's a profound truth that our faith is built on. Matthew 6 says this about truth, that if we forgive other people when they sin against us, then God will forgive us when we sin. The passage that I pointed out in John 18 says that Christ came to testify to truth. The word testify comes from the Latin word witness. Jesus Christ is our witness to what is true. This has been several years ago, but those of you that are Cleveland Cavaliers fans, or in particular LeBron James fans, I don't know if you remember where they put up this large sign that had the Nike sign, and then underneath that, they had witness written. And if you really didn't know about the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James, you wouldn't know what it was talking about. But it was a witness to the greatness of LeBron James and his ability to play basketball. And that's how the belt of truth is for you and I. We bear witness to the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. It's something we always need to wear. It's something we never need to take off. It's something that is a status symbol for you and I today. But let's dive a little deeper into truth. Because biblical truth can become very hard for us. Because at some point your truth is going to clash with society. It may go against your political party. Quite frankly, You may not agree with the Bible and would rather go to the way of society. What about biblical truth when it threatens our living? This was very, very common in the first century. The people, especially the Jewish people, had their living threatened when they became Christians. Once they had a very prosperous business, but because of testifying to truth, they were shunned, they were boycotted. No longer did they have a prosperous business. In every major city in the first century, Ephesus included, you could not go to the market without seeing deity after deity after deity. If you don't know the deities I'm talking about, ask your kid, because they can take Greek mythology in high school. And actually, it's one of their favorite classes that they love to take. But in the city of Ephesus, there was a deity called Artemis. And she was the most revered of the goddesses. And the Apostle Paul was preaching in Ephesus, and he was telling them about the way, or about the truth. And there was a man by the name of Demetrius, and he would make these gold coins with the figure of Artemis on them to sell, because in Ephesus they had a huge temple devoted to Artemis. And he became concerned about his business. So what he did is he basically caused a riot against the Christians. He says, look, this guy is talking about Artemis. And the Romans and the Greek did not like any god to be talked about because they feared retribution from the gods and the goddesses. So he started to attack him, and it became very, very dangerous for Paul. But actually, the officials in Ephesus stepped in, they saved Paul, and Paul moved on to Macedonia. But that just kind of shows you that truth can threaten your standard of living. When Jesus Christ had a conversation with his disciples before he left this earth, it's the conversation found in John 14 where he says, I'm going away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again and I'm going to receive you unto myself, because where I am, I want you to be. And one of the disciples spoke up and said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And he gave us this profound verse that causes people to wrestle in their lives with different religions, different beliefs. And it's this verse: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, if you believe that today, if you answer yes, your search is complete. If you believe Jesus is the way, if you believe he is the truth, the life. If you answer no, you keep looking. But it's not just on Sunday morning for this hour that we're together that we have to answer. It's easy to answer yes, but it's not so easy when our kids go away to junior high and to high school to answer yes, and to have the belt of truth fastened around them. Many people believe, and you may be included in this, that there's more than one road to God. I learned that in seminary, of all places. I was in a study group, and someone took charge of the study group and said, I think at this point in all of our lives and our journeys that there's more than one way to God besides through Jesus Christ. And I was stunned that I was hearing this in seminary, where I wanted to learn how to preach and teach about the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you do believe that direction, that there's more than one way to God, it's going to create a void in you. It's going to cause you to keep looking, to keep searching and searching in your life. It's going to water down the Christianity that you have today, and you won't really have to worry about any schemes from the devil because you're done. To believe in a watered down Christianity is to believe in nothing. This happened to the church at Galatia. They had changed the truth. And the Apostle Paul comes along and he says, "What happened to you? Who cut in on you?" They started bringing the law into the gospel message of Jesus Christ and saying, "Yes, you can receive salvation through Jesus Christ, but you really need to do this, or you really need to do this to receive that salvation." And the Apostle Paul come back and said, "No, you've watered down the gospel. You've allowed something to affect your belt of truth." But that happens every day in society with our belts of truth and what we believe about the Bible and what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelations, we find these wonderful letters to the seven churches. And I had the privilege in 2013 to travel to Turkey, and I was taken to each one of these churches, like the Colossia, the Church of Pergamum, the church at Ephesus, and got to physically go and see where these churches were. But this letter was written to the church at Ephesus, and it says this to the church: "You have persevered and you have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. But I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen." What they did is they changed their witness to the truth. And it's kind of interesting that in Paul's writing, that he writes in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." One of the ways that I experience truth, or how I know I'm following truth, is I experience freedom in my inner being. It says in John 8 that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You will stop looking, you will stop being attracted to every single thing. You will be like the man in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that found this pearl of great price, and he went away and sold every single thing he had because he had every single thing that he wanted through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14 reveals to you and I that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, will lead you into all truth. Pray with me. Most gracious and holy God, I just ask now that you would lead us into all truth. I pray for people, Lord God, who are perhaps on the corner of relinquishing their life to you, that they would do this today, that you would fill them with your freedom, your abundant joy, and your peace. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.